Do you need help protecting your finances as you enter retirement? David Dickens of KC Financial Advisors has got you covered. Welcome to the Cover Your Assets KC podcast.
It's the Cover Your Assets KC podcast. Walter Storholt here alongside David Dickens, President and Wealth Advisor at KC Financial Advisors. David, great to chat with you once again. How are you, sir?
Doing great, Walter. I'm happy New Year to you. I'm excited about a lot of good stuff happening in 2020.
It's going to be a big year, and not only a new year, David, new decade too. So, you know, it's amazing how these, not just the years are flying by, but the decades are flying by these days.
Yeah, this last one really rolled by fast.
That's absolutely true. Before you know it, it'll be 2029, and we'll be saying, man, where did the 2020s go?
I'm not ready for that.
Yeah, exactly.
Slow that down.
We won't fast forward that too much. It's time for the Roaring 20s, though. Of a different style from 100 years ago. Well, we've got a great two shows to kick off the new year. We're going to talk about some, I mean, everybody's doing it, David. We're talking about making New Year's resolutions these days. Tis the season for those. And so we're going to spend two episodes talking about some financial resolutions. We're going to give you five financial resolutions to follow on today's episode if you're under 50 years old. And on the next episode, we're going to give you a different flavor. It'll be the New Year's resolutions you should follow if you're over 60. And we'll give you the reason for why there's also a 10-year gap in between those two things on the next episode. So don't worry about that for now. But today's focus, David's going to be on the under 50 crowd. And what's our first New Year's resolution to commit to?
Well, I'm super excited about this one because we have a lot of listeners under 50. And I get a lot of requests saying, you know, every time I hear something about required minimum distributions, I just shut off your podcast. So what I hope is that if you're under 50 and you're listening to this today, this zeroes in on some stuff that's super important to you. As I was crafting this list, I realized I had to do this in two different podcasts because what is super important when you're younger is not as relevant when you're older. So that's why we broke it into two. Number one, if you're under 50, you have to calculate a net worth statement for yourself every year. And January is just the perfect time to do that. So you might be thinking, wow, that sounds kind of familiar. I seem to remember you telling me that before. And you're right. We did a podcast called Foolproof Way to Retire Well Off. It's number 21, which frankly is a great one for you to re-listen next week when we're talking to the people over 60. But what it says is you need to calculate a net worth statement for yourself every January. It's totally simple to do. It's really, really important. And annually is plenty often to do it. So what is that? Well, it's a very simple little calculation. You get out a yellow piece of paper or a Excel spreadsheet, doesn't matter which. Draw a line right down the middle. And on the left-hand side, list all of the assets that you have. Maybe you've got a house. Put down the house and the value of that house. Maybe you got a car or two. Put down the cars, the make, model, and the value of each of those cars. Maybe you've got a 401k. Maybe you've got an IRA rollover. Maybe you've got some bank accounts. List all of those under the asset column and put down the current value as of December 31st. And then add all those up. And that's the left-hand side. On the right-hand side, write down everybody you owe money to. Maybe it's the company that has your mortgage. Maybe you have a car loan or two. Hopefully not, but maybe you have some credit card debt. Write all of those things down and the dollar amounts that you owe to people or companies, and then add those up. To get your net worth, all you do is subtract the right side from the left side, and that's your net worth. So why do I need that, Dave? Well, here's what you want. You're going to have 10 years from now, we were joking about, you know, this decade zipping by, but 10 years from now, you're going to have a 10-year record of your net worth. You can look back and say, you'll know where you were, you'll know where you are right now, and by doing just a little bit of introspective work, you can figure out where you're going and how fast you can get there. So it's really a record of your financial well-being over time. And if you don't do one now, you won't have anything to look at next January to compare against. This is super important. If you listened to podcast 21 back in April and you didn't do it then, please, for your own financial well-being, do it right now.
And we'll link to episode 21 in the description and the show notes of today's program. So check it out there. We'll link out to that so you can find it easily. But if you're on a particular app listening to today's show, it should be pretty easy. Just scroll back to episode 21 and you can listen to that one. That'll be very helpful. The net worth statements every year, too, doing it that way just kind of gives you a different sort of comparison as well. I mean, because you could look at tax returns over previous years and, you know, kind of go off of salaries or adjusted gross incomes and those kinds of things, but a net worth statement's a really nice way to get a picture of also the different seasons of life that you go to, like when that house got added to the ledger and how that affected the, you know, the overall net worth. And then as you paid that off or increased your income or had this or that happen in your life, you can see those ebbs and flows and those changes, and hopefully the increases and the disparity between those two sides of those columns change and increase in disparity over time as well. Hopefully the left side getting the one getting larger and larger, right? Not the right side.
And that's the goal. And I think you brought up a really interesting point. If you just look at your income and you say, well, you know what? Our household income has been doing great. Got that new job. We have more to spend. But if you're spending every penny of that and your net worth isn't increasing, then I think you've got your financial plan upside down. So just knowing that you're increasing your income is not nearly good enough to say that you have a financial plan. You've got to know that your financial net worth is increasing over time.
All right. Resolution number two
is eliminate bad debt. And so we did a podcast way back in podcast number 9, where we kind of talked about what is there such a thing as good debt and bad debt? And what I said back then, and I still believe, regardless of your age, is that there are certain types of debt that are perfectly fine to take on. Let's just say mortgage debt. So very few people are going to go out and pay cash for their house. They're going to get a mortgage, pay it off over 30 years, or pay it off when they sell the house and move on. But there's also bad kind of debt. So the reason that mortgage debt is what I would consider good debt is the house you buy is very likely to increase in value over time. So you're taking on debt to buy an appreciating asset. What about car debt, a car loan? Well, cars, the vast majority of cars do not increase in value. So that's arguably bad debt, but I think it's okay debt as long as you don't buy a super expensive car that you really can't afford and you take out an 8-year loan. Arguably, that's silly. But if you have a car loan that is on a car you need and it's, you know, reasonably well thought through and you're going to pay it off over 4, 5, or 6 years, perfectly fine. Bad debt is consumer debt. You can think of that as credit card debt. If you have credit card debt, then this is going to sound extreme, but your financial plan has a cancer and you have to get rid of it. When you get consumer debt, what that likely means is that you're living above your means. You're borrowing probably at a really expensive rate, 16 to 28%, to buy things now that you haven't saved for. And that's just a really bad practice to have over time. Example. So here in my business, I have monthly expenses, and a lot of them I put on a credit card. Why? Because I like getting Southwest miles.
Who doesn't? That's the allure of them, right?
Exactly. But I pay that card off every month. But I'm looking at the statement right now. So last month, I charged $6,400 worth of things for this business, services, whatever. There's a box on the left-hand side of this that says, if you only make the minimum payment. So on this $6,400 bill, the minimum payment is $64. And what they're now required to disclose is, if you only make the minimum payment, it'll take you 18 years to pay it off if you never charge another thing. So what I hope that tells the listener is the minimum payment is a really bad thing to make. Now, it's better than making no payment because then you get a penalty on top of that. But you will never pay that credit card off if you're just making the minimum payment. I mentioned the minimum payment on this card is $64. The next box down says if you pay 4 times the minimum payment, you'll have this thing paid off in 3 years, and you will have paid us $8,300 for the $6,400 worth of things that you bought. The long and the short of this is credit card debt is super, super bad for your financial health. It's a cancer for your financial plan. Mortgage debt is perfectly great. a well thought through auto loan is totally okay. Consumer debt, super, super bad. You've got to get rid of it.
There's no middle. It just goes from, you know, okay, to terrible.
Just terrible.
Okay to terrible.
And I will say, if you have a if you listen to this and you say, you know what, I know that, and I have a problem, I agree with about half of what Dave Ramsey says. It's probably a name you're super familiar with. But one thing he's really good about is making sure that you understand whether you're living above your means and how to pay down credit card debt. So if you find yourself in that unfortunate position, go find a Dave Ramsey class, enroll in it, and listen really intently to the first 6 or 7 sessions. He's really good on that piece.
That's a great point, David. All right, so we've got 2 of them down. Draft a net worth statement every year and eliminate bad debt. What's the third New Year's resolution for those who are under 50?
The third one's pretty simple in that, let's say you work for a company that offers you a 401k plan. You want to go into your HR department and tell them that you want to increase your contribution. So maybe it's by 1%. Let's just say that your company offers a 5% match and you said, well, I want to at least get the match, so I'm going to do 5% too. Go in on January 2nd and say, I'm going to increase to 6%. Or if you can afford it, 7%. Going back to this episode 21 where I talked about a foolproof way to retire well off, one of the ways is, make sure you always save 10% of what you make. And the easiest way to do that is right through your 401k plan at work, because that money never comes into your checking account. It goes straight to the 401k, so you never have a chance to spend it because it automatically gets saved. You might say, well, Dave, lucky me, I'm already doing 10% because I listened to that podcast and I took your advice and I'm doing 10%. Here's what I'd encourage you to do. Go into HR on January 2nd and say, I'd like to move my personal contribution to 11%. The more you can save and invest for your own future, and I'm not saying live like a pauper when you're working, but as your income goes up, there's no super good reason to continually increase your standard of living. I mean, it might be your thing, but if you want to have a totally secure financial retirement, take that opportunity to increase the percentage. And 10% is not a maximum, it's kind of a minimum. And so as your income goes up, take the opportunity to put a little bit more into your financial nest for when you get to be 60 and you say, you know what, I think I'm going to retire early, or 70 because you love what you do and your financial nest egg is just that much bigger.
Wherever you are, if it's been a little while since you've increased your contribution limit, go in and knock it up just a little bit. Just give it a little
pay yourself first.
There you go. I like it. All right. Number 4 financial resolution for under 50 years old folks.
Yeah. Number 4 is something that most people don't like to talk about, but I'm going to label it protect against disaster. And so what that really means is I have 3 different bullet points here: life insurance, disability insurance, and make sure you have an emergency fund. So let's go to the bottom first and work our way up. Emergency fund is really, financial planning people would say, you need to have 6 months of living expenses set aside for emergencies. And that's kind of a big number for a lot of people. But you'd want that in a bank or a credit union where it's not invested in the market and the market goes down and part of it goes away because of market fluctuations. You really want to have that to be safe money. I know people who say, Dave, I've got half of that in the bank, but I've also got a home equity line of credit on my home that I could go get anytime I wanted. Is that okay? And my answer is, yeah, that's probably okay. As long as you know that if you truly have an emergency, you have a place where you could go get that kind of money without a bunch of penalties, without withdrawing it from a 401k, that's probably perfectly fine. But make sure you have an emergency fund. Secondly, disability insurance. If you're under 50, the probability of you dying is way less than the probability of you becoming disabled. And the difficulty of becoming disabled is it likely impacts your ability to make a living. And you're still there. So your spouse, your kids, your parents, somebody's going to have to make up that difference. But if you make sure that you have disability insurance, usually through a plan at work, you're going to kind of take that risk off the table. Super important, pretty cheap. Got to make sure that you spend a little bit of time thinking through it. And then life insurance. Most people under 50 that are listening to this would know that I believe in buying super cheap term life insurance. And so because life expectancies have been getting longer and longer, term life insurance is getting cheaper and cheaper. So if you're in pretty good health, and especially if you have kids at home, or if you have a non-working spouse, this is really, really important to make sure that you have. If you get hit by a bus tomorrow on the way home from work, the expenses in your life, in the people behind that you leave behind, those expenses are going to keep rolling along. And so you need to have a big tax-free lump sum that's going to go to the people you leave behind to continue to maintain their lifestyle. One little nuance here that I want to make sure that if you're listening today and you have a spouse at home, maybe your spouse is a non-working spouse and you're the primary breadwinner, both of you need this term life insurance. Why is that, Dave? Well, let's say that in my case, I was the husband and I worked outside of the home and my wife ran the home, three daughters, and did an awesome job at that. But I realized that I needed life insurance for her too, because if she died, I still had a job to go to every day and I had three kids to take care of. So there was a financial risk if either of us died, which is why both of us needed life insurance. Make sure you think through that. Talk to a financial person, a life insurance person, or read some articles. But both of the spouses need that coverage because both of them are at risk if the other one dies.
That's why we say being a mom is a hard job, because it qualifies. There's financial value, great financial value, in even if you're not working, but being a stay-at-home mom, there's just so many savings that you're actually incurring by having, you know, that person on staff handle those home duties, right? That makes
it's a big exposure. If either of them dies. So you might ask the question, well, how much do I need? There are a bunch of calculators online. Everybody under 50 is really good with Google. A calculator I think is pretty good. I'm not necessarily endorsing it. I don't have anything to do with it. Bankrate.com has a pretty darn good calculator that would help you get ballpark how much do I need. Find a calculator online, make the calculation, and make sure that you have term life insurance at least up to that amount.
That's a great point, Dave. All right, last but not least, what's the final New Year's resolution for 2020 for those under 50? A financial resolution.
Under 50, it's really easy to ignore your estate plan, but it's super, super important to have one, especially if you have kids. So let's say you're 25 years old, you're fresh out of college, you're in your first job, you don't have any spouse. Honestly, it's not, you could ignore this and things are probably going to be fine. But if you've got a spouse and kids and both you and your spouse die in the same car wreck, you need a will that explains to everybody who cares who the guardians are going to be for your kids. That's maybe the most important thing about having a basic estate plan when you have kids. Who's going to take care of the kids? You also, in a basic estate plan, want to have a financial and healthcare power of attorney for each of you. And we've covered that in previous podcasts, so I'm not going to go into that in detail, but it's really super important. And then I have, for the last 20 years, I heard this, I don't know, I read it somewhere, or maybe some mentor told me about it, but I've always had a file, a document, that is called an if I die document. And it's written to my wife so that if someday I don't come home from the airport or don't come home from the interstate, since I've handled a lot of the financial details over our life, she's going to need a pretty clear roadmap. At least for the first 6 or 9 months, my wife is super smart, but she doesn't spend a lot of time thinking about financial things. So she has a document that she knows where to go get, and it's just called If I Die. And it gives her a lot of information about how bills are paid and where life insurance policies are, which companies, and how to contact those people. And what I think she should do with our 401k and our IRA if I'm not there anymore. So a fairly detailed document of what my spouse would need to know in the first 6 months after I'm not here anymore.
Never fun to think about, David, but extremely, extremely important. So there you have it, the 5 financial New Year's resolutions to follow, put in place, and commit to here in 2020 if you're under 50 years old. Recapping them quickly, draft a net worth statement every year, eliminate bad debt, increase your 401k contribution, protect against disaster, and put in place a basic estate plan, or refresh it if you haven't done so recently. Very helpful tips on today's show. So it's really, really great information to have. We'll put resources and all the things that we mentioned in today's show. We'll put links to those things in the show notes of today's episode. And that includes the calculator that David mentioned at Bankrate. We'll put a link to that for you to access as well. Well, David, very helpful information. Thank you for guiding us through that today. And hey, on the next episode, we're going to talk about those resolutions to put in place if you're over 60. So that should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Most of my clients are over 60, but a whole lot of listeners of this podcast aren't. So hopefully the differentiation between the two has been really, really helpful.
Well, glad that we'll be able to cover all sides, that's for sure. If you've got any questions for David Dickens, by the way, questions about your financial plan, about some proper planning techniques, anything like that, give David a call at 913-317-1414. That's 913-317-1414, and always online at coveryourassetskc.com. Thanks for tuning in. We'll talk to you next time right back here on the Cover Your Assets KC podcast. Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, BCM, a registered investment advisor. BCM and KC Financial Advisors are independent of each other.